Open your Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. That should be pretty easy to find. The last chapter of the last book. Revelation chapter 22. Genesis, Exodus, Revelation. That's all I need. Revelation chapter 22, look if you would at verse 6. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings, or the saying of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the spirit of the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, Lord, I thank you for these folks, Lord, that came out, Lord, tonight. And Lord, it's a good crowd. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just speak to us, Lord, through your word tonight. Lord, you know what we need to hear. And Lord, you know what's going on in each of our lives. You know, Lord, that what needs to be corrected. And Father, I'm just thankful that you always give us an opportunity, Lord, to stay clean before you. And you can continue to give us grace time after time after time. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll be glorified as we worship you in the preaching of the word of God. And Father, I just pray that you'll just speak to our hearts now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you read your Bible, by the time you get here in this final passage of the scripture, you have read about 6,000 years of history. Now, I realize that so-called science today teaches that man on this earth has been here much longer than 6,000 years. I mean, if you watch even things like the Discovery Channel and you read other books, they'll tell you that, you know, the earth is millions of years old and man was around millions of years ago. But your Bible says that man has been on this earth for 6,000 years. And either you're going to take the word of God as truth or you're going to take the word of scientists as truth. The Bible says in Romans 3:4, it says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And it doesn't matter what the scientists say. The truth is that God is the one that tells the truth. Man has lived on this earth for about 6,000 years, and the first 4,000 years or so are recorded as history in the Bible. Going from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 1, where John is given the vision of things to come. And then on top of that, it's been about 2,000 years since that was written, and since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so there's been about 6,000 years with another 1,000 years yet to go, because we know that the Lord is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And in that time, there will be a seven-year period known as the 70th week of Daniel, when things are going to get really bad on this earth, and then following that 7 years, then that's when the 1,000 years will start, where Christ will be on this earth physically, ruling and reigning, with a rod of iron. The book of Revelation shows us these things that are yet to come and those things that are revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many think that the book of Revelation is a revealing of last things by John. I want everybody to look at your Bible right now and look at the very first page. And those of you who has it written there, Revelation of St. John Divine, raise your hands. See what it says. Anybody on the title page of Revelation, does it say the Revelation of St. John the Divine? Anybody have that? Most people have that. Okay. The reason that's written that way is because it's John that is giving the revelation that was given to him. It's actually not the revelation of John. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 1. Turn back to Revelation chapter 1, very first verse. It tells you everything that you need to know of where this came from. Even though it may say the revelation of St. John Divine, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because Revelation 1:1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That's the reason it says the revelation by St. John Divine. He's the one who wrote it, but it's God who revealed it to him. Okay? And so this book reveals things that are prophesied to come to pass. And so by the time you get to this book of the Bible, you've already read about creation. You've already read about the great flood, the Tower of Babel, the parting of the Red Sea. You've read about Abraham and Moses, the prophets. You read about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You read about the prophets or the apostles and how they spread the gospel and how Paul, he went through his three missionary journeys. And by the time you get to this text here tonight in Revelation chapter 22, we're at the end of the book, and we see some final things mentioned that every single person on this earth must remember. Now remember, here at the very last chapter of the Bible, it tells you final things. In other words, they're giving you final things. But if you'll notice, if you go way back to the other end of your Bible, in Genesis, it tells you the beginning of things. You know, it tells you when everything began. Revelation chapter 22, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And it gives you some final things here. And so really what we're going to look at tonight are these final things. And the first thing that we see here in this very last chapter that's declared, in the very last chapter of your Bible, something that God wants you to know as kind of a last message here at the end of the book, is God wants you to know that the Word of God is completely true. He wants everybody to understand that the Word of God is completely true. Now look, if you would, at verse 6. It says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Now, how do we know that it's completely true? Well, we know that because 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the words of God that were spoken by the prophets are literally God-breathed. And then those words were written down. And because God is absolutely holy, then the words of God must be absolutely holy and true. There can be no errors in God's word. It's absolutely truth that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. It's absolutely true that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Those stories in the Bible that sometimes we have a hard time really believing, like the story of Jonah. So many people, they'll say, well, I believe this, but I don't know if a whale can swallow a man. Wait a second. If God said it, it's true. It happened. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Doesn't matter if you've ever seen it or not. If God said it, it's true. It's true that Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's absolutely true that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single thing in your Bible that's written, it is absolute truth. These things are faithful and true. And so the Word of God is absolutely true, and we can count on every single word. Now, there are those today that claim because man wrote down those words that were spoken and then those words were copied, that man could have made mistakes by translating them wrong. But the God I serve is all-powerful, and he's able to preserve the Word of God perfectly. Now, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible, because here's what it says in Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words. By the way, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy word, sanctify them by the word, thy word is truth. It says in Psalm 12, 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You know, one of the things I learned a long time ago, and that's this. Eternal means eternal. Everlasting means everlasting. And forever means, well, forever. Amen? And so when it says he's going to preserve those words forever, that means those words are preserved today. And that means those words will be preserved 1 million years from now. And 5 million years now. Eternity from now. Forever means forever. And that means that God preserved his perfect word, and his perfect word is on the earth today, and there's nothing man could do to possibly change that. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever." God's word is on this earth today, and you say, well, where is it? It's right there in front of you. It's right there in the word, in your Bible, right there in front of you. That's the reason we must believe every single word of it. It's God's preserved word. It's his words. And God doesn't lie, and God doesn't make mistakes. And so at the very end of the Bible, John is when he's given this revelation that was given to him, there are certain things that are said here at this last chapter. And one of the things that's said is this, that thy word is faithful and true. That means every single word in that Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation, every single word is absolute truth. And you can count on it. Now, as Christians, a lot of times what we do is we think about the great promises that God has given us. And we start to think, well, boy, you know, I'm glad God told us the truth when he said we're going to go to heaven if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? But you know, the thing that we sometimes forget that not only are the blessings and the promises true, but the warnings are too. The warnings are just as true as the blessings and promises. God doesn't lie, folks. And so he's preserved his word, is perfect. And so his word is perfect on the earth today. And because those are written words of God that you have, they are absolute truth because God doesn't lie. So the first thing that we see as being mentioned right here in the final sentences of the word of God is that the words of God are true. But then we're given a second thing that we see in this final chapter, and that is a declaration from Christ himself. And that declaration is really twofold. And there, first of all, there is a declaration of his imminent return. In Revelation 22:12, it says, "And behold, I come quickly." Now, there are people today that say, well, you know, that was written, you know, 2,000 years ago. It doesn't seem like he's coming too quickly if it's written 2,000 years ago. I mean, if you figure if man's been on this earth for 6,000 years and it's been 2,000 years since that was written, you say, well, maybe he isn't coming so quickly. Well, yes, but with the Lord, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. God's timing is not our timing, but I will tell you this, he is coming quickly, and that's a warning. Listen, we don't know exactly when he's going to come. It's not for us to know exactly when he's going to come, but I'll tell you this, he's coming quickly, and I'm looking for him any day. Okay, and you say, well, preacher's been saying that forever. Okay, but I will tell you, we're closer now than we've ever been. You can't argue with that one, amen? I mean, we are. We're closer now than we've ever been, and tomorrow we'll even be closer than that. He says, behold, I come quickly. Now, those words should strike fear in anyone who's not saved today. The fact that the Lord is coming back. Jesus Christ can come at any moment. If you're not saved, you'll face his wrath. Because he is coming quickly, if you're not saved, you better get saved because there isn't much time left. But the Bible also declares that Christians have a certain amount of time as well. Not to get saved, but for a Christian to start, a Christian has a certain amount of time to start serving the Lord and bringing him glory while he's on this earth. You don't know when the Lord's coming. But wouldn't it be great to be found doing his work, doing the Lord's work when he came? Wouldn't it be great to be found faithful when he came, so that when he came back and he all of a sudden he takes us home, or let's say if he decides to take you home personally tonight, when you go home, God forbid that were to happen, but let's say if it did happen, wouldn't it be great that you were serving the Lord faithfully when he decided to take you home? Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Now you say, what are those rewards? Well, the Bible talks about in over 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we're going to receive rewards as Christians for serving the Lord. And as Christians, if your work glorifies the Lord, then some of those rewards that Jesus is bringing will belong to you. So we see, first of all, that the Lord is declaring that he's going to come. But then again, there's also a declaration of his eternal existence. He says in verse 13, he says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." The Lord has no beginning or no end. He's eternal. And that's one of the best things that any Christian could possibly hear. You say, why is that? Do you realize because the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal, that means that you have to have everlasting life? You know why? Because the Bible says that when you got saved, you got placed in him. You're in Christ, who's eternal. You know what that means? That means you ain't gonna die till he does. And he ain't gonna. Amen? I mean, that's if there's anything that should get us fired up as Christians, or anything that should put a smile on our face as Christians, is the fact when he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, I am the beginning and the end, I have no beginning, I have no ending. Boy, I tell you what, that should fire you up as a Christian there. Because that means that you're going to live as long as he does, and that's forever. And so every Christian on this earth is either in Christ or not in Christ, or every person on this earth is either in Christ or not in Christ. Those who are in Christ have everlasting life. Those who are not in Christ are in Adam, and in Adam all die. Romans 5:12 says, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So in Adam there's death, but in Christ there's eternal life. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, but so in Christ shall all be made alive. So here at the end of this book, the Lord reminds everybody one final time of his eternal existence. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Here in this last passage of the Bible, after 66 books have been completed, God again says that his word is faithful. And one last time he declares the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to finish the word of God off, the very last thing we see talked about in the Bible. The last thing, I mean, when you think about all that the Bible talks about. And by the way, folks, do you realize when you're reading that Bible, you are reading the most amazing book that has ever been written or ever will be written? I mean, you think about it. I mean, sometimes we look at the Word of God and we think, okay, that Bible tells me how to live a life that glorifies God. That's true, it does. And we say, well, that Bible tells me how to be saved. Well, that's true, it does. But you ever thought about how you could read that Bible and it just continues to speak to you? And then when you'll think you got something, and then all of a sudden you read the same passage and you don't have that passage anymore. I found that out today. I've been sitting here studying this passage all week. And today, just when I read this chapter 22, I ran across something I never saw before. I showed it to John just before he started singing. Blew my mind. I mean, I was sitting there. I actually put the Bible down. I sit back and I'm looking at it like, what in the world? That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. That's a living Word. That's what you have. And all of a sudden, when you get to the very end of it, the last thing that he says, the last thing that's mentioned is a final witness of the Spirit. Final witness of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit proclaims three things to end this Bible. The first thing he proclaims to all is an invitation. In Revelation chapter 22, look at verse 17. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride's us. The Spirit, Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, that's anybody. That's a legitimate offer to anybody. Let him take of the water of life freely. The final witness of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is come to Jesus. After all that's been written, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, every single word of it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see him in every single Bible, or every single book of the Bible. And then at the very end, the Spirit says, come to Jesus now. Just come. Don't matter who you are, just come. And notice who's all invited. The hearer, the thirsty, and whosoever. All are invited to partake of the water of life. Jesus offers each one a chance to be eternally satisfied, a chance to have within them the river of life, the chance to never thirst again. Jesus, if you'll remember at the well in John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 7:38 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so the last thing that's talked about in the Bible and this final witness of the Holy Spirit, and one of those witnesses is that the invitation to come to Jesus Christ, and that invitation is given to every single person. But then the second thing the Holy Spirit witnesses here in this last chapter is actually a warning to all. And this is a warning that, to tell you the truth, folks, a lot of people today on this earth need to take a serious heed to this warning. Look at verse 18. It says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Now, I want you to stop and think about that for a second. Think about some of the plagues that are written inside this book. You go back there to the book of Exodus. Remember when Moses went to Pharaoh? And God told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And then Pharaoh decided he wasn't going to do it. And all of a sudden, these plagues started coming upon him. And these plagues were pretty bad. I mean, you had frogs, and you had locusts, and you had hail, and you had darkness, and you had disease. You had all these things. And at the very last one, it was death of all the firstborn in Egypt. Now that's plagues. And that's just some of the plagues. You go over to the book of Zechariah and it talks about a plague that hits people where they start to melt. I mean, it's just horrible stuff. Graphic stuff over in Zechariah. That's a plague. And it says here, if any man add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So would you agree that we could probably learn not to add to the Word of God? Do you realize you go back there to Genesis in the very first book, you know what they did, what the devil did in Genesis chapter 3? He added to the Word of God. But then look at verse 19. If any man shall take away from the words of the books of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He says, if you add to it, I'm going to add to you plagues. If you subtract from what I've said, I'm going to subtract your part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. This book opens with a blessing to all. Revelation, it opens with a blessing. And get this. The blessing is, let me tell you how you get a blessing. Back in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, here's what it says. It says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." So get this. According to Revelation chapter 1, you're going to get a blessing if you read the book of Revelation. Amen? And you're going to get a blessing if you keep the things which are written therein. You're going to get a blessing there. He says, for the time is at hand. Isn't it something that the Lord says, if you read the Word of God, I'll bless you for it. But if you add to it, if you subtract from it, now I'm going to add the plagues are in this book to you, and I'm going to subtract your part out of the book of life. That's a pretty stern warning. And you say, well, why do you say that's a stern warning? How many of you understand that there are people today who have written other Bibles that add and subtract from the Word of God? Remember, that warning's there. And remember what it said. It says, these words are faithful and true. Got to take word of God at His word. Now, this book of Revelation closes with that warning. And those people who add or subtract from the Word of God will pay a heavy price. Now, I want you to look again at verse 19. How many of you understand tonight that you cannot lose your salvation? Amen? Then what in the world are you going to do there with Revelation chapter 19 when it says that He's going to take his part out of the book of life? What are you going to do with that? Well, here's the way people usually read that. They usually say, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his name out of the book of life. Anybody see it that way? That's not what it said, is it? It says his part out of the book of life. His part. So if a Christian messes with the words of this book, he needs to be very careful, because he has a part there, his part, when it comes to the book of life, his part when it comes to the New Jerusalem. Okay? You say, well, what is our part? Well, turn back to Revelation chapter 21. I'll show you this. Revelation chapter 21. I'm just going to tell you, folks, you can do nothing to get your name removed from the book of life. Once your name was written there, you are a family. You're not going to get out of the family. You're there. Your name will always be in the book of life. But in Revelation chapter 21, look if you would at verse 22. It says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved," now watch this, "shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it." Now this is describing the New Jerusalem, And the believer is going to have his part in the New Jerusalem. And as the believers, our part is to bring glory to God. That's what we are to do. We should be, when we serve the Lord here and we're persecuted for living godly lives and we're doing what the Lord wants us to do, and then all of a sudden the Bible says that when the Lord comes, we'll get crowns. And those crowns are the glory that we're going to bring before the Lord. That's our part of the glory we're going to bring before the Lord in the New Jerusalem. And as Christians, we are to bring that glory to God. So here's what happens. When you get a man in Revelation who loses his part, he's not going to be able to give glory to God because he's not going to have the crown to lay at Jesus' feet. Okay, so he loses his part out of that. Now, there's one thing that Christians need to understand today is that we are saved forever and every believer is going to go to heaven if you've been born again. Your name is written in the book of life forever. But the quality of your life during the millennial reign of Christ is based on what you do today and how you serve God today. It says here that all the kings and all the nations will bring their glory to God. And when a king gives his honor and glory to someone, what does he give? He gives his crown. That's what he gives. And we will have our part to bring to God and to glorify God as well. We will all have the opportunity to bring our honor and glory before the Lord and give it to him as we cast our crowns before his feet. And folks, that means the future is at stake. Everything that you do today, you do so that one day you can glorify Jesus. You do it so you can glorify Jesus Christ now, but also so you can glorify Jesus Christ in the future when you take that reward that you earned and place it at his feet, because that's what's going to mean more than anything else. You know, that's the reason why some Christians today, they just think it wrong. They say, okay, I'm going to work for the rewards. I'm going to work for the rewards. I'm not working for the rewards. My goal in everything that I do is to glorify the Lord. Now, when the Lord brings rewards to me, which he said, he's bringing rewards, he's coming back. He said, you know, I'm coming, I'm bringing my rewards with me to reward every man according to his works. When he brings those rewards to me, the greatest thing is to be able to take those rewards and glorify him with those rewards. You see, it's all about glorifying him. But we want to make sure we don't lose our part. We don't want to give up our opportunity to bring our glory and honor before God in the future. Don't squander the opportunity to lay your crown at his feet in order to glorify him and give him all the glory for saving you. Keep serving him every day. You make sure that you have your part when that day comes. Now, here in the last part of this Bible, the Holy Spirit gives an invitation to everyone who will come. The Holy Spirit gives a stern warning to anybody who attempts to change the Word of God. And then finally, the last witness of the Holy Spirit involves a promise to everybody. Look at verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The very last words that Jesus says in the Bible is, surely I come quickly. He's promising that he's coming again. Let me ask you tonight, are you ready for him to come? He says, I'm on my way. I'm coming quickly. You know, I tell you this, folks, you just can't get past that warning. What I'm trying to say is this. If you read your Bible and you read it through, you know, however long it takes you to read it through, or maybe you're reading it through as you're studying it, when you get to the very last of it, he's giving you a warning. He's letting you know that he's coming. He's coming. Would you agree that maybe if we heeded that warning, that we would get busy today and start serving him and do everything that we could to start serving him? Because he's coming. I'll tell you this, when I was a young boy, I wish that I had known when my dad was coming home. It would have saved me a lot of heartache. Because he'd tell me to do something, all of a sudden he'd just show up. I wish he'd have called and said, hey, listen, I'm on my way. Because if he had, then I would have hurried up and got some things done that I should have been doing while he was gone. But he never did do that. He just all of a sudden showed up, and then all of a sudden when he showed up, I was caught and I didn't have everything done I should have. But there is no reason for any Christian today to be caught not serving the Lord. Why? He's telling you right here. The very last part, the last thing that he says is, I come quickly. Folks, he's warning you. He's warning you. If you're not saved, you better get saved. If you're not serving the Lord, you better get after it. You better start serving him. Why? He's coming. Now, I don't know when he's going to come. I'm not going to sit here and try to name a date. That'd be the most foolish thing I could possibly do. But I do know this. When the Lord says, he says Behold, I come quickly. Hey, listen, that word is faithful and true. He ain't lying. He is. But you know, there are going to be a lot of Christians, who are going to be absolutely shocked and say, you know what, I didn't expect you to come today, Lord. You should. You should expect him every moment. Why? He told you right there. There's no reason for a Christian today to be caught not serving the Lord. Are you ready for him to come back? At the very end of this Bible, we're reminded of the faithful word of God. We're reminded about the finished work of Christ. And we're reminded about the final witness of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is calling a person today who's not saved to be saved. And tonight, if the Holy Spirit is witnessing you and you're not born again, you need to be born again. He's saying to you, come, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And Christian, this last chapter of the Bible has some important things to say to us too. It's saying that we are to remember the truth of the Word of God and that we're to apply that truth to our lives. The truth that says that we are to serve God, that we're to be willing to suffer for Christ's sake. The truth that we are to lay up treasures in heaven and not on earth. The truth that one day we'll have the opportunity to glorify God with the crowns we receive for serving Him and being faithful. The last chapter also reminds us as Christians about the finished work of Jesus Christ, which is the reason that one of these days we all will be in heaven if we're saved. And finally, we're reminded of the final witness of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is coming back soon and He's bringing His rewards with Him. The question is tonight, are some of those rewards that Jesus is bringing with Him right now, do some of them rewards belong to you? I hope so. Because if some of those rewards belong to you, you're going to be able to take those rewards and lay it at His feet. And you'll get to rule and reign with Him. What a thing that is. But can you imagine Him bringing the rewards with Him, and all of a sudden He starts handing them out, and you're the one standing over there who don't get one? He told you He was coming. Are you ready for Him tonight? Let's stand.